Now you know what we are. Now you know what you are. You'll never grow old, Michael. And you'll never die. But you must feed.
I'll let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to take me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my home.
Yo, it's me, it's me, it's that D-O-double-G here once again with that D-U-M-B. Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, Horror for Dummies is proud to present the podcast champions of the world, the gorgeous Tim Davis and the stupidly dumb Benjamin Field, Horror for Dummies!
Oh yeah, one take, Benjamin, one fucking take.
Yes, that was sick. Well done, but you misspelled my name, you said D-U-M-B.
Yeah.
That's not how you spell Ben.
Yes, it is.
Oh, fuck. All right, I've been doing it wrong. Shit. I have to change some forms.
Oh, Benjamin, how are you today?
I'm fucking well, my friend. How are you?
I'm over the moon. I'm ecstatic. I'm happy. I'm a happy boy.
Are you now? Why are you over the moon?
Well, something happened to me today that I didn't think was going to happen.
You caught the spider, didn't you?
I did this week. No, I'm going to do a little shameless plug as to why I'm happy. So today I was at work.
Is that why you're happy? You gave yourself a shameless plug.
Actually, I did.
Grubby.
In the work truck, actually.
Oh, really? I did just before I came here.
Is that why you were late? Yuck. No. Today at work, as I do every Thursday, I was listening to the Padded Room podcast.
Yep.
And they have a little thing called the Terror Dome.
Getting your feel of the Big D?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The Big D and Buddy and Monica. Oh, that Buddy, he's a sexual beast. Anyway, they have a little thing they like to do called the Terror Dome, which, yes, I told you before, which they pit fighters together and callers call in and vote. We're coming down to the championship now. And there was a fight today. They have a singles and a team category. So the teams were the Lost Boys versus the Nazi Zombies.
Yeah, right.
So you know me. You know my thoughts on the Lost Boys, and we'll get to that later. But you know that I'm a big, big fan of the Lost Boys. They're my boys. So I called in, well, I emailed in, with my votes, thinking, I'll put my votes in. I know these guys aren't going to win. Thanks to Alan Chacha, Cake Wolf, Cake Bitch, a few other people who came from to help me. The Lost Boys are now in the fucking championship, and they're on their way to win glory. They're no longer lost, Ben. They found their path. They found their way to the championship.
So now they're just boys.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah.
Exactly. And I'm stoked.
Yeah, the boys.
Seriously, this is like my football team getting to the grand final.
Now I understand sports.
But the thing is, this week, or next fight, the teams, it's the Werewolves versus the 30 Days of Night Vampires. Thing is, the Werewolves, they're my horse. I've got my money on them. I've had all this year. Ooh. So if they're in the championship, it's my guys against my favourite guys.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of a win-win, but not really.
So it's either your favourite against your bet.
Exactly.
Fuck.
Yeah, so
win-win or lose-lose?
I don't know. Because I
suppose it depends how you want to look at it.
I know. Oh, right. But if you want to check out the Terror Dome, you can at the Padded Room podcast, which is on this feed, and you can check him out at paddedroom.com. But episode without fucking up.
episode. We're 3 minutes in.
Yeah, that's almost a whole episode.
Okay, so what we just heard, yeah, we watched The Lost Boys. See you!
paddedroom.podbean.com. All right. Drinking my sippy cup. Now, if you didn't pick up already, we are doing The Lost Boys, and we're not just doing The Lost Boys. This episode is dedicated to The Lost Boys. We're celebrating their championship victory, almost championship victory. We're celebrating them getting
into the pre-championship
victory. Exactly. We are celebrating here today at Horror for Dummies. And we're not just talking about The Lost Boys. We're talking everything about The Lost Boys. I'm talking about comics. I'm talking about sequels. We are going full-blown into The Lost Boys today.
Okay.
Not sexually, but like...
I was going to say, yeah, when you're talking about doing them and going full-blown into them, like, fuck you, no.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
You know what they say about those vampires, but...
What?
They're a dead root. Delightful.
You're a piece of shit. All right, let's kick it off with some listener mail.
Listener mail.
Oh, I got some hate this week.
Did ya? I don't remember writing in.
Fucking motherfucker. All right, listener mail. Some people do not like me this week. Alright, let's kick it off with Benjamin.
Alan Chacha!
Yeah. He writes, I am shocked. I mean shocked and saddened by Tim's hatred for Megadeth. I'm not sure we can be friends anymore. Fucking hell, that's brutal. This development has upset me greatly. He then goes, I'm kidding, but I love Megadeth. They are my favorite out of the big four.
Whoa, that's a big call, Alan. Yeah. Big call, man. I do like him, but... Fuck, favourite out of the big four definitely has to be Metallica. Mm-hmm. Hands down.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm right behind you. Yeah. Megadeth.
Get away from there.
The bottom... What?
You said you're right behind me.
Yeah, boy. Megadeth are at the bottom four. Sorry, Alan, I just... You dig what you dig, man, okay?
Really?
Anyway.
You are... Oh, I suppose that's no surprise. You hate Megadeth, but fucking... I'd still put him above Slayer.
Really?
Yeah, man.
You're not big on Slayer, right, though.
Not massive. They got some songs I like, some songs I don't.
So yeah, I Slayer would probably be my second, or they'd be tied. But I can't choose between Slayer and Anthrax.
Yeah, I'd probably go Metallica, Megadeth, and then Slayer and Anthrax are like equal. I like them both, but yeah, not fucking massive into them.
Yeah,
like them, but yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, moving on.
He comes in again and says, so on the topic of the Warrens, lots of people have said that Ed was a total ass, but Lorraine was the complete opposite. Ed also told a writer to make things up for a book on one of their cases. I think Lorraine was sincere and Ed was out to make a buck. I think Lorraine got dragged into it and I feel bad for her. I used to not believe in ghosts, but I have had some experiences that have changed my mind. I live in a haunted house. Several times I have seen a little girl sitting in a spare room. That's fucked.
That is fucking terrifying.
Shell and her sister both saw this girl as well when they were both growing up. I have also seen something walking through the yard that is blacker than that is blacker than black. A shadow person, if you will. I dig the Conjuring movies. I'm sorry, when he said blacker than black, I was thinking Death Clock.
Blacker than the blackest of black. Times infinity.
You know what happened to me the other night? So I was in bed, and I woke up at our 4-year-old. She loves to sleep in me and Joyce's bed. So I put her to bed as I do in her bed, and then I got woken up at about 3-4 in the morning. I'm sorry, no, 3-2 o'clock in the morning. And I turn around, and I just see a silhouette of a little girl, and of course my mind goes straight because we just watched The Conjuring. Mine goes straight to horror. And I freak out, and then I realise that there's fucking Abby standing in the fucking doorway wanting to come into our bed.
Fuck, I thought you were going to go the other way. Yeah, I thought you were going to say you saw a silhouette, so you went to check on her and she was in bed.
Oh, no, fuck that.
That would have been fucking terrifying.
No. We dig the Conjuring movies too, Alan.
Yeah, we do.
Thanks, Alan. Alan, I was talking to Alan also about Megadeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, dude, what are some bands that you hate? And he gave me a list. A big list.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I hate Skinny Puppy. Never heard of them.
No.
No Effects. Yeah. Slaves on Dope. He goes, they killed nu metal for me. Couldn't listen to Korn or Limp Bizkit, etc. for a long time after I heard them. Do you know Slaves on Dope?
No.
Never heard of them either.
Apparently I don't want to know them either.
I
I kind of want to Google it just to see what he means.
Exactly, yeah. Nickelback. Who doesn't hate Nickelback?
Yeah, fair call.
Florida-Georgia line. Sum 41. Why do you hate Sum 41? I like Sum 41.
Yeah, that's a bit surprising, but each to their own.
Yeah. Any band that does the screaming like the Tasmanian Devil's Moody Tunes and starts singing normally. Creed, Puddle of Mud, Bush, etc. Okay. I understand those. Ryan Sorkness also came in with his most hated bands. He goes, 3 Days Grace, damn near every Nickelback song, and any of the new country artists.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So I told these guys that I'd come in with my top 5 most hated musicians or artists.
Yeah.
And when I say top 5, these, like, if you compare these with Megadeth, Megadeth is like my favorite band compared to these 5 artists. Okay, so coming in at number, no particular order, but number 5, U2. I cannot stand U2.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm sorry. Have you heard that joke about...
Yeah. Bono!
That's the only thing I like. Have you heard the joke about... I don't know if this is true, because everyone seems to tell me it's a true story. You two are at, like, in Scotland doing a concert.
The concert, yeah.
And Bono's there, and he's clapping. And he goes, every time I clap... What is it?
Because he's so into helping all the underprivileged kids around the world and all that. Partway through their set, the stage went all black. There was like a spotlight on him, and he was clapping every 3 seconds. And he sort of said, every time I clap my hands, somewhere in the world, a child dies. And some guy just went, then stop clapping your fucking hands!
That's the funniest fucking shit ever.
That's fucking golden.
If that was a true story, I would have, and I was at the concert, which I would never go to.
No. But that would have been lost the best shit ever, eh? That's right up there with that dude calling out of the Eddie Murphy thing.
What happened?
It Raw or Delirious? I can't remember, but he's doing his thing. And he goes, whew, it's hot up here. And some chick in the audience just goes, take your shirt off. And like the second she stops speaking, some other dude in the audience just goes, shut up, bitch!
I have heard that. That's
so right. Fucking funny. Just the timing of it is flawless.
Okay, number 4, Oasis. I fucking hate Oasis. I don't know why. I just cannot get into any of their music. And I find, what's the lead singer? Liam Gallagher?
Yeah, Liam Gallagher.
He's such a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, he just always bitches. All I see of him, and I don't know, it's the media talking shit, but every time I hear something about him, he's bitching about someone.
Yeah. Anyway. You sure, is that Liam or Noel? I'm pretty sure Noel's the bitch.
Oh, one of them. I don't know. They're both shit. all right, number 3, Rihanna.
Yeah, fair
because
enough.
She's stupid. And you know why she's stupid? Because she got bashed by a guy and went back to him.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid, eh? Kicked out of it, made a massive thing about it, and then went back to him anyway.
Yeah. On top of that, I don't find her singing at all appealing. It's boring. She's not that great looking. And I don't know, everyone goes off to how she's the hottest thing in the world. Not really. I wouldn't. Okay, I would, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, come on.
Who wouldn't I do? But, like, yeah. I'd rather...
Depends what era you were looking at, eh? There's some points where she looked pretty ratty, but there are other points where she was pretty slamming.
Yeah, these are her own. Number 2, her boyfriend, Chris Brown. Now, yeah. Jaleesa likes a bit of Chris Brown, and every time she turns him on in the car, I try to jump out. Even if we're going like 100 kilometers, she knows that I fucking hate this guy.
He keeps trying to jump out, but Tim hasn't figured out how to work the seatbelt yet, so he can't quite go through with it.
You're the dummy here, okay? Huh? You're the dummy
only
here.
Only for horror, mate.
No, I can't fucking stand Chris Brown. I think he's a piece of shit.
I thought you were about to say, no, I can't work the fucking seatbelt.
Shut up. At number 1, my least liked, my most hated, if you can even call them an artist in the world, is Kanye West. Fuck that piece of shit.
What? You can't be prejudiced against him. He's a gay fish. He likes fish sticks.
All right, on that note.
And he's married to a hobbit.
Oh, man, I want to watch that episode again.
I watched it the other day, eh? Every time he's describing something, he's bitch, you sure you ain't a hobbit? I fucking love it.
All right, Ryan comes in again. He says...
Lucky Ryan.
He says...
Every week.
I know, every week. Every
fucking week.
That was fucking moho.
Of course it was.
Hey, Tim, and not Tim. No one can remember your name.
No, it's just purposely calling me not Tim.
I know, but...
Huh?
Hope you enjoyed Twilight's predecessor. Fuck you, Ryan. Fuck you. Fuck off. I hate you so much.
I put my working title in my notes for this as Twilight after your comment about it, Ryan. Shout out to you, brother.
Anyway, and Tim. How can you not enjoy Dave's angelic voice speaking truce and cocaine-fueled rants from his red-haired lips? It's easy. I just don't enjoy it.
Not even when he's having conversations with himself?
No. Go wear your fucking white frilly shirt somewhere else and talk about God somewhere else. I don't care about you.
But no. He's telling himself he's the real me.
Oh, my God. Can anyone listen to that and go, this is a really good song? No.
It's the best song. It's so funny.
It's seriously like the Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2 of metal songs.
Hello, me.
It's horrible,
the
man.
Real me. I was listening to that song today as well, actually.
Why?
Because it's funny.
All right. He goes, enough of the bullshitting. I really took time to write in to give you a task. Ooh. This task should be fairly easy for you to complete. I want you to pick two films for us, for listeners, to vote on that you can pair up with the Cannibal Corpse song to listen to at the end of the show. Nice.
Yeah, solid choice.
To make it even easier, you can choose a song as well. This message may or may not self-destruct in 10 seconds. P.S. Hope you enjoyed the Wheeler Walker Jr. songs. My personal favourite is Fuck You Bitch. Have it set up as a ringtone for the ex-wife, Ryan. Dude, that's a cool task. At the top of my head, do you know what would have gone perfectly together? Cannibal Corpse songs and horror movies? Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Hammer Smashed Face.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like a movie that would go with that.
Yeah. Too bad we've already done that. So give me some time. You'll see it on the next votes and I'll give you the options of songs too.
Done.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
All right. Our next message comes from Christopher Paley from the Consumerist Podcast. Check those guys out at the Trainwreck Network. He writes, hey fellas, just a quick one because this crossed my mind this morning. Tim, I know that Jaws is pretty much your favourite movie. Not pretty much, it is my favourite movie. I also know that you can't read. Well, fuck you.
I would love it if that's the end of the email. He just wrote in to say that.
He goes, whoops, I mean, don't read. Shit. Fucking jerk. Anyway, I was just curious as to whether you have read the novel, and if so, how did it compare? And if not, do you think you'd ever would, feeling the way you do about the movie? Or, alternatively, is there any other horror where you have read the related book, regardless of which came first, and how did the two mediums compare to you? Later, skaters, P.S. Jaws' novel is listed as a thriller. P.P.S. Without doing any research, a song for Lost Boys could be Lost Boys by UK indie band The Subways, which has nothing to do with vampires. Or Among the Dead by Tim Armstrong, reggae styly, which lyrically has nothing to do with vampires, but starts off with a cool soundbite from The Atomic Brain. Thanks, Bailey. Okay, as to your answer, what's funny? You're still laughing at the joke.
No.
What?
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 No, I'm waiting for you to say something. Am I not allowed to smile?
To answer your question, I have the Jaws book here, and as you said, I can't read. But this is one book that I've given my best shot, and I've got like halfway through before I put it down. I cannot read, man.
Literally, there it is. He said it.
Literally, I can't read. I just stare at the words.
Haley, Tim just got confused how books work. He was trying to read Jaws. He just threw it in the bathtub and started trying to bite it. He only got halfway through, and then he got full.
As the Jaws book, very different to the movie, and it gets a bit graphic in the book. Like it talks about Sheriff Brody's boner in the morning.
Oh, great. Yeah,
it's like that. And the book is very different from the actual movie. Like, a lot of stuff happens in the book that doesn't happen in the movie. I haven't finished the book. Actually, you've actually just reminded me that I should actually get around to finishing it, because I would like to. But from what accounts I've heard, that the movie is actually better. Don't quote me on that. This is just what I've heard. But on the top, I haven't read any other books. Look, truth be told, here's, I'm going to give you the books that I've read in my whole life. The Dirt by Motley Crue, Ozzy Osbourne's autobiography, and Hulk Hogan's autobiography. That's it. They're the three books I've read from start to finish.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah. Once I read yours, if I do, I'll get back to you on that.
I thought you'd read, have you not read Heroin Diaries?
Yeah, I couldn't get through that either.
Oh, really?
read halfway through it and then just put it down and just never got back to it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, magazines and Facebook posts is the only things I really read.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for listener mail. Thank you to everyone who emailed or messaged. Now let's kick it off with Ben's question of the week.
Ben's question of the week.
Well, here we are, listeners, at your favourite time of the week again. Time for Ben's question of the week. But it's only good because of the answers you guys give us. That's right. It's all on you. Good job, guys. I'm giving you a thumbs up, even though you can't see it. So, last week I asked, what's your favourite opening to a horror movie? So, we've got Daniel Kaluuya. Ah, Kaluuya. I love Kaluuya.
Yeah.
Saying, Carrie, opening credits bush. I feel like that's a solid reason.
So much vagina.
We got Matthew Fishgold saying, Jason goes to hell, yeah, comes to mind, as well as Hatchet 3. Yep, so, yeah, cool. And then he's been thinking about it a lot, and he's decided on Ghost Ship. All right, so
yeah, that's so brutal.
It's pretty savage, eh? And then again, three times. Good job, Wolfie. And he said, oh, I don't know, there's too many good ones. I can't stand my ground on Ghost Ship even. Are you not Tim for this question that's breaking my mind? Now you know how I feel all the time, bro.
Have you seen Ghost Ship?
I've seen the start.
Have you?
Yeah.
So fucking brutal.
Savage, eh?
I love it.
Okay. Now, we've got another few answers. So we've got Michelle Sales also saying Ghost Ship. Yep. We've got Dean Stephen, Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah.
That little girl at the start freaks me out.
That's fucking nuts.
I feel like just little girls in general, like in something like that, is just creepy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Tony Toon, I believe that's pronounced. The Ring and The Scream are first that come to mind.
I had The Scream, so yeah.
Yeah, fair call. Cool. Oh, you got them all as like screenshots.
Yeah.
Whack-a-doo. Alrighty. We got our good mate Ryan Silkness, Ghost Ship as well. Ghost Ship's racking up the tally.
It is so good.
Geordie Van Vuklis, Scream, definitely.
Yeah.
Scream's holding on as well. And then our good friend Alan saying, Night of the Living Dead. That opening is so stark and creepy. You have Johnny picking on Barbara, and then boom, here comes the zombie.
Yeah.
Solid.
It is iconic.
Iconic.
Another one that I would pick is actually Jaws as well. Just, dude, 5 minutes and you've already got a kill on your hands.
Yeah, that's right, eh? I feel like something like that's a good way to get you interested.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your question for next week?
Alrighty, so my question for next week is kind of like a piggyback off this question. Yeah, I'm going to ask, what's your favourite ending to a horror movie?
Ooh.
Do you like the suspense? Do you like open end? Do you like closure? Let us know.
On the top of my head, I have to study this. One of my favourites is The Mist.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you why, because it's one thing that I want you to see.
Okay, cool.
Train to Busan's another one that I loved.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'll have a think and I'll answer the questions next week for you, Benjamin.
Yeah, nice.
All right, so let's kick it off with this Lost Boys party with our feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
All right, Benjamin. The Lost Boys from 1987, the best year ever. Do you know why? Because I was born. Coming in at a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb, which is criminal. Now, Ben, before
coming
we
in
start,
a what?
At 7.3 out of 10.
Yeah, okay.
Now, before we start, okay? My nostalgia glasses are going to be thick today. Okay?
I figured as much, my friend. I figured as much.
Now, I tried to watch this movie with a critical eye. I just can't. This movie means so much to me. And I'll tell you what. Basically, when I was a young little lad, my mother's sisters and brothers, my aunties and uncles, my uncle's only about 9 years older than me. So we were basically brothers in a way. And my aunties were not far off that either. So I always looked up to them when I was a wee lad. And they would always talk about The Lost Boys, along with other movies. Texas Chainsaw Massacre was another one. But Lost Boys was their favorite. So me being like a mold of clay, basically, wanted to be just like them. So I sat with them and watched this. And basically, this movie to me is a 10 out of 10. I'm coming in straight away. I will come out with my real score after with a critical mind later on the show. But, Benjamin?
Yes, Tim.
I want to hear it. Did this movie hit you as much as it hit me?
I'm going to tell you right now, Tim.
Yep.
It didn't.
Motherfucker, you're a liar.
I'm really not, actually. I don't know. I can give a few reasons, but I really actually couldn't get into this movie that much,
to be
honest.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man, it really didn't do it for me.
You're fucking with me right now.
I'm not, actually. I'm, like, being 100% legit. It really didn't do it for me, this movie.
Wow.
I know. I was, like, with how much it's been talked up and stuff, I was sort of, like, really looking forward to seeing it, and I don't know. It just didn't work for me.
This podcast might be coming to a close.
I was
going
to say, fair enough. Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, because apparently it's our last one.
We'll get into that later. Let's kick it off with some... I can't believe you don't like it. What's wrong with you?
What?
You like Star Wars, so...
Shut up.
All right, so the plot is, if you haven't seen it, and I'm sure most people here have seen it, after moving to a new town, two brothers discover that the area is a haven for vampires. That's basically it.
That's definitely it.
Yeah.
That's the entire plot.
All right, let's go down the cast. So we have Jason Patrick, who is Michael, who is the son of Jason Miller. You know who Jason Miller is?
Negative.
He is Father Karras in The Exorcist.
Oh, okay, cool.
Priest, or one of the priests.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Corey Haim, who played Sam. You know Corey Haim?
The name's familiar.
A child star from the 80s.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, he died in 2010 at the age of 38.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, sadly. Diane Weiss, who plays Lucy. Mm-hmm. She's also the mother of Edward Scissorhands.
Yep.
In Edward Scissorhands, sorry. Bernard Hughes, who played Grandpa, died in 2006 at the age of 90. He had a good run.
Fuck, that's a solid run.
Yeah.
Good innings.
Edward Herman, who played Max, died in 2014 at the age of 71. Jamie Gertz, who played Star. You like Star?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You like Star. Corey Feldman, who played... You know Corey Feldman.
Again, know the name.
Edgar Frog. The Frog Brothers.
Yeah.
So you have Edgar Frog and Alan Frog, who was played by Jameson Newlander. Get it? Edgar Allan.
Yes.
Edgar Allan Poe.
I got that part straight away.
Keith Sutherland, who plays David. Brooke McCarter, who played Paul. He was the one they call the Twisted Sister Vampire.
Yeah.
The blonde-haired one.
Yeah.
Died in 2015 at the age of 52.
He was actually
Corey Haim's manager for a short while.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Billy Worth, who played Dwayne. He was the other glam rocker vampire, the black-haired one.
Yep.
Who was a model. Like, literally, a model. I'm not saying he's sexy.
No.
Alex Winter, who played Marco. You know him from anything else? He's the other vampire.
Yeah.
Anything?
Not off the top of my head.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures.
Oh, fuck, of course.
Then, lastly, we have Tim Capello, who was a sexy sax man.
The sexy sax man.
I could not leave
what
him off.
What in the name of fuck was that?
We'll get to that. This is directed by Joel Schumacher. Have you heard of Joel Schumacher?
Yeah, he marks shoes.
Oh, fuck you. That was the worst joke I've ever heard. He's directed films such as Phone Booth, 8mm, Batman and Robin, Batman Forever, amongst many. Those Batman films are, like, hated amongst fans. What? From what I've heard, like, I'm not into Batman, so I don't know, but...
Yeah, they're definitely not as good as some of the other movies, that's for sure.
Yeah?
Christopher Nolan trilogy kicks ass.
Which ones are those?
They're the more recent ones, like Batman Begins, Dark Knight, all that.
Okay. Yeah, I remember liking the Tim Burton ones, but that's all I really remember.
Yeah, fair call.
Now, Joel Schumacher is, in fact, a homosexual.
Okay.
He's gay. So, and I think that's why he put the nipples on the Batman suit. Matt, that's the rumor out there. But did you happen to see any gay undertones in this movie? In The Lost Boys, I mean.
What do you mean, the gay undertones?
You noticed to happen anything that was kind of homosexual in this movie?
What, like the sexy sax man?
Well, that, yeah.
It's like the gayest thing ever.
It's not gay, it's...
It was super gay.
How is it gay?
What, a fucking big muscly dude oiled up, wiggling around on stage with chains around his neck? Yeah.
So you calling wrestling gay?
Huh? No.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Not really.
Except he's...
They do awesome stuff. They do brutal stuff. They hammer each other. This guy's just like wiggling his hips and shit. It was strange.
We have been known to like a bit of glam metal.
Yeah, that's true. We love glam metal, but they're playing music. They're doing cooler stuff. He's not playing music.
He's lip syncing really badly, but he's
terribly.
Actually him singing. So
you're telling me there's nothing gay about that? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
If there's something gay with that, then there's something gay with wrestling.
So you're telling me that's straight as you see no gay undertones in that?
Oh no, I do. Like, I can see how it would be referred to as gay, but no, I'd go to that concert, I'd be like, fuck yeah, this is cool, rock and roll with 80s. This is 80s to me.
Okay.
You really look at it and go, that's gay.
No, I don't sit there and go, that's gay. But I saw it and I was like, you're asking about gay undertones. I'm mentioning that. Now you're telling me I'm wrong.
All right.
Make up your mind. Do you want my opinion on gay undertones or not? So you just agreed with me, but now you're disagreeing with me in the same thing.
So you didn't happen to notice that Sam's poster of Rob Lowe in his room?
I've got that in my notes as well. It was fucking weird. I don't understand that.
So, Joel Schumacher said it's because Rob Lowe was in St. Elmo's Fire, which he just directed previously before this. He says that's why, but I don't really understand why you need a picture of Rob Lowe holding his shirt up. Anyway.
Yeah, it was really odd.
Yeah. Sam also in the bathtub singing I Ain't Got a Man.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really take that as a gay undertone, though.
Yeah, I know. It's just a normal kid. This is something I got.
Song that's on the radio.
This is something I got from the internet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And did you happen to notice anything with the blood? The vampire blood?
What, that it was... What, the bottle?
No.
Or...
After they killed Marco. Yeah. After they staked him. And the blood was all over the Frog Brothers. Did you happen to notice anything about the blood?
Besides it being a really weird colour, no.
Okay, well, it's glittery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you look at it carefully.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice that.
And that's not... a gay thing that was meant for an effect to make the blood seem slimier, which obviously didn't work.
Yeah, clearly.
But it wasn't meant to be gay, so all you people going, "Ha, it's a Twilight thing," you can go fuck yourselves. How about that? So yes, this has a lot of gay undertones, and that's just because Joel Schumacher is in fact a gay person. That doesn't bother me in the slightest. I can watch a gay movie and think it's good or bad. Doesn't bother me. Like Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why didn't you like it? Seriously.
I just couldn't get into the groove of it, man. Like, fucking... It started, and it had an incredibly poorly... I think part of what bugged me is that it just had such an incredibly poorly half-assed, like, made story from the word go that seemed to just... Like... They just turned up to a town, didn't really give too much reason as to why. Because it's mentioned in like one sentence.
Their grandpa's there.
Huh?
They just came out of a divorce.
Yeah, I know, but it's mentioned in like one sentence. It's not really... I'm not saying that like reasons aren't given, but I'm saying the story itself isn't built well. I found they only gave you bare minimum information in like two offhand sentences every now and then just to link in what's going to happen next. Like, okay. They only gave you something when it was necessary for something else to happen. I found it really... I just found the story building in this really, really badly done.
Okay.
So, like, things like, and same with a lot of the character development, like, you know, Star being into Michael.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really build on that at all. He, like, sees her twice, and then she's crying because she's, like, she's, you know, of what happened to him. And he goes, what, because you care about me so much? She goes, I do. Like, since when? Well, you've seen him speak for, like, three lines twice, and now she's, like, in love with him.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Have you ever heard of Love at First Sight?
Hardly.
You've hardly heard of it?
No, I've heard of Love at First Sight, but, like, even then, in a movie that portrays that, it's still, like, builds on it more. That's what I'm saying. Nothing was built.
Yeah.
It's so loosely thrown in there just to try and tie things together, which I feel like it didn't do.
Right.
Like, Love at First Sight, yeah, you could say that, but even then, as I said, in other movies where that's a thing, they build on it. You know, they dramatize it a bit more. They make it a notable thing. In this, it was offhand mentioned.
Right.
Like, a couple of times. Like, they showed, you know, him seeing her, and then, what, the motorbike chase, and, like, they spoke, like, once or twice, and then suddenly she's so into him.
Yeah.
It didn't work for me. See? But you're getting all defensive now, because you've got your fucking nostalgic glasses on.
No, I think you're wrong, but okay. That's just me. Continue.
Well, yeah. What points? I thought that. I didn't rate the acting in this at all.
From who?
Really, from any of them.
Keith Sutherland?
I didn't think it was that good.
Wow.
I didn't really like it. He was just... I don't know. It just didn't sit well with me. That's what I'm saying. I couldn't get into this, eh?
Maybe
I
didn't, you had a bad day.
Huh?
Maybe you had a bad day. I think you should go home and watch it again.
I don't want to.
My God.
I really don't.
My God. All right, fine. Let's talk about the actual movie then. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, the original story. Give me a second, sorry. I'm just trying to find my notes. So the original story, the original screenplay, was written by Jan Fisher and James Jeremias. Was originally about a bunch of Goonie-type fifth to sixth grade kid vampires, with the Frog Brothers being chubby 8-year-old club scouts, and Star being a boy instead of a love interest. The original inspiration came from James, who caught upon the notion that Peter Pan could fly, visited Wendy and her brothers at night, and never grew old. The simple notion that Peter Pan was a vampire with the genesis for the story. In the first draft of the script, the character of David was originally named Peter, and the other characters also had names from Peter Pan story. In the final draft, many names were changed, but originally the two brothers were Michael and John, which was later changed to Sam. And mother's name was Wendy. The most obvious nod to the Peter Pan story is a dog, Nanook, inspired by the character Nana, the dog. Nana's a shit name for a dog, by the way.
It is a big name.
The grandfather character was never part of the original story, but later created in the draft by Jeffrey Boehm, who was hired to do the final rewrite. Joel Schumacher hated that idea and told the producers he would only sign on if he could change them to teenagers, as he thought it would be much sexier and more interesting. So that's basically the original story of this film, and fuck me, Dad, I'm so glad that Joel Schumacher came in and changed it up. Because that sounds shit. Alright. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, even though it's wrong at times.
See, you're getting so pissy about it, you little girl. Stop having a sulk. I'm not sitting here slamming it, saying, it's shit, it's rubbish. I'm saying I didn't like it. I couldn't get into it. Right. It didn't tick boxes for me. I don't like it.
How did you feel about the soundtrack then?
Again, I really... like, as a soundtrack or as a score?
Well, let's go both. Because the score.
It was okay. It wasn't anything special. It was a bit of synth, dramatic synth here and there. And yeah. I mean, as is to be expected, but it was okay. It was nothing out of the ordinary. And I found that majority of it, like a lot of times, they just threw back to playing songs from that era. Which is fair enough, because it sets the tone and all that sort of stuff. Like, I get it. But that's what I was going to say. I found it to be more of a soundtrack than a score. they played more music from that era than they did actually have music for the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So how do you like the soundtrack, though?
The soundtrack's cool. I got no problem with that.
The soundtrack's actually... If you talk about horror soundtracks, The Lost Boys is always at the top of, like, always mentioned. And it's one that I was actually listening to on the way home today.
Yeah.
I love every song, even the fucking Elton John song.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a bit of Elton John.
No, no. But, yeah. No, I love the soundtrack.
Yeah, man, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the soundtrack itself, quite cool. I'm all right with that. And that was good.
But... You know the Cry Little Sister song.
Yes, I do, because I heard it in your car like a million times.
Yeah.
I must admit, that's been stuck in my head since I watched it.
Yeah, so you do like it.
I know, I said I like the soundtrack. I'm not denying that.
All right, well, I'm kind of lost for words right now. I can't believe you don't like it. I thought you'd come back and go, yeah, it's fucking mad.
Yeah? Yeah, man, I was hoping I would, man, like, because I know you love it, and I've always heard good things about it, but like I said, it just, I don't know, I couldn't get into the groove of it, eh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really can't quite put my finger on what it was. Like I said, the story building didn't quite work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the acting was okay, but some was not, like, I didn't really rate most of it. I didn't necessarily like how quickly some of the story progressed. Like, you know, they're vampires who are supposed to be immortal and all badass, and they can all get killed by a couple of, like, semi-organized kids.
Yeah.
That seemed a bit weird. I didn't like the fact that there was nothing really about... Yeah, fucking a head vampire until near the end of the movie when it was just sort of thrown in there as an idea and turned out to be exactly what was going on. And even though he's the head vampire, got killed in like 10 seconds after he found out he was the head vampire.
Yeah. They talked about the head vampire the whole movie.
No, not through the whole thing. They bring it in near the end. It's only like half an hour left or something. It's not through the whole movie.
Yeah. When they're going in the cave and
they sort of mention it like once. Yeah, they mention it a bit, but same thing, it was just sort of thrown in there, then they brushed off it, and then it came back at the end like really quickly and then got sorted really quickly. Yeah. I think I like a little bit more action to go with things like that to reel you into it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like David fighting Michael, that was pretty cool. I'll give you that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But yeah. When Max turned out to be the head vampire and he sort of reveals himself and what was going on, and then he just dies straight away. I just sort of thought, oh, okay. That was very, very anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bit of a letdown.
So, did you get, like, the last line of the movie with Grandpa saying the one thing in Santa Clara I can't stomach? All the damn vampires?
Yeah, that he knew about him the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you went into the comics, it explores further into the story.
Yeah.
Turns out that Grandpa's actually a vampire hunter.
And killer. Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
So that's why he had those things on his truck, because he knew. And there's a scene when Max comes to dinner, and Grandpa's in his shed, and he's got the, I don't know what you call it. He's doing his taxidermy. He's got the glass thing on his head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's looking at Max strangely, and if you noticed. You never realize why that scene's in there, but it wasn't until like this recent watch that I actually realized that thing is mirror that is on his head. He must have been seeing the mirror, looking at the mirror, and realizing that there's no reflection. From Max.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So he must have put two and two together and know this was happening. Yes, I know it's stupid how he got the aim so perfectly and stuff like that. And why wouldn't you just walk into the house instead of driving? Yes, I know it's dumb, but hey,
I didn't so much have a problem with that. Like, it was kind of like, I laughed at it.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. But I just didn't, I didn't really like that, as I said, it was just very anticlimactic. Like, you expect him as the head vampire to be, like, faster, stronger, smarter than all the others, and, like, be more badass in general.
Yeah.
And he's finally revealed as the head vampire for all of 2 minutes before he fucking gets killed.
Yeah.
I found that just a big letdown.
I understand. That's actually one of the reasons why I hated Queen of the Damned. So I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Now, to talk about David, how you say he's died so quickly. Going off the comics, what happens to him is David is impaled on a pair of antlers.
Yep.
And he doesn't disintegrate like the other vampires. You just see him transform into a younger version of himself kind of thing. Despite what Max later says, he's not really dead. This was intended to be picked up in the sequel, The Lost Girls, which was scripted but never made. Now, in the comics, The Lost Boys' Reign of Frogs, it helps bridge that 20-year-old gap between the films, because there's part 2 and 3.
Oh, okay, right.
It is implied that David not only survived the impaling, but went on to create the head vampire in Lost Boys 2.
Okay, cool.
We'll get into that later, and I'll tell you more about what happens with David. But yes, it leaves... I get where you're coming from. It does escalate quickly, and it's kind of over in a flash.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from.
It spends so long painting up, almost like confirming or leaving you wondering, I guess, about the vampires for so long of the movie.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of really wrapped up really quickly.
Yeah.
Which I felt just the spacing was a bit off. I don't know. It just, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the actual movie itself. Now,
yeah.
The effect of them flying, how you don't actually see them flying. You like
Are
it?
Are you talking about the, you like the POV shots, yeah, for the camera?
Yes, yes.
I liked it the first time. I kind of got it. But then when it did it another couple of times, I kind of got over that.
Okay. So that was a budgetary reason.
I figured
for that.
It must have been. Because they did do the shot of Michael, like when he wasn't sure how to fly, like when he woke up on the roof.
Yes.
And I figured, so I was like, all right, so they know how to do it, but they just didn't do it much.
Yeah, yeah.
So I figured it must have been a budget thing. But the first time, especially at the start, because, you know, you don't want to play all your cards straight away, you know.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
Like, I get that. But then when they used that sort of thing another couple of times, I didn't really like it. And the same, they did the same thing with, like, how they vanish. Like, how, you know, they're in a shot, and then it'll do a close-up of Michael's face, and then go back to the same shot, but all the vampires are gone.
Yeah.
Like, the first time it was kind of cool. I was like, oh, shit, all right, cool. But then when it did it another couple of times, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we already saw that. Like, I get it.
Yeah, nah.
It was just a bit repetitive.
All right, the let's go to the effects. Yep. So the gore, the look of the vampires, everything like that.
The actual look of the vampires was cool. I like that. Uh-huh. The way their face got a bit more rigid and stuff, but not over the top.
Yeah.
The contacts for the eyes, they were sick.
Yep.
And the fangs and stuff. I dug the look of the vampires, definitely. So I like that. As I said, the effects, a lot of it were just done with camera shots and sounds. Like I said, like, you know, close in of someone, like everyone there, close up a face, and you hear a slight noise, and then zooms back out, and everyone's gone. Or
yeah,
a couple of times it worked. A couple of times I found it repetitive.
What about like when the vampires actually died? Like you had Paul who got the holy water in the bathtub.
That was cool. I like that. That was really cool, the way he come up and you saw his skin sort of, even the first time they splash him with the holy water and he's got like the burn marks across his face and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he comes up and most of his skin's melting off and all that sort of, like holy sort of skin. That was wicked. But I did dig that.
And it's like, it's that, it's also with Dwayne, the other vampire, when they both get the holy water sprayed in them, it's like a burning effect. They like, the smoke comes off them.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Just eye to detail, like things like that. Like, yeah. Really make it.
Yeah, definitely agreed. Like, that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is funny that you say that it comes off the book that was originally made like a Goonie sort of style thing, because the first half of this movie seemed really horror style to me, and then the second half seemed more like a coming-of-age movie.
Yeah.
It kind of got very Goonies, Home Alone, that sort of like coming of age, kids having to step up, which kind of confused me a bit because it didn't really tie in necessarily, I found, with the horror aspect of it. Like, to me, it almost like, I don't know. I just couldn't piece it together. It seemed really disjointed to me. Where they were in the movie just sort of kept jumping along, and I found it easier to keep track of the story because it was, you know, a fairly basic storyline, so to speak. But I just found that the way it cut from piece to piece, I found it really disjointed. I found it didn't have a really nice flow through the movie. It sort of just jumped here and there, which is part of what threw me off.
Did you understand the whole story? Like, everything that was happening?
Yeah, near as I know.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I thought you were saying that you didn't understand.
No. Like, that's... No. That's what I mean. I could keep up with the story easily because it was, like, an incredibly basic story.
Yeah.
Which, again, is probably part of what... I don't know. Maybe... See, it's weird. I can't necessarily say just because it was a basic story, it didn't interest me, because you could boil a lot of great movies down to a basic story. But the way it evolved, I found, didn't keep me interested.
Right.
It sort of... It almost jumped in blocks. Like, you just got enough information at one point to explain the next part. Yeah. And then it just did that for a while. I didn't find it really rolled through.
Okay. So you like a smooth selling story.
I'm all for twists and turns, but just... Yeah. I'm trying to think how to describe it. But yeah. As I don't know. I'm lost for words myself to try and describe how I feel.
Ben, you really threw me here.
I know, man. I know.
You expect to love it, and now I'm like, oh, I just can't get my mind around it.
I know. I'm sorry, Tim.
I'm crying a bit inside.
I know. I'm sorry, bro.
No, don't be sorry. Everyone has their opinions. Fuck. You don't hate me for hating Megadeth. All right. Well, that's basically all I can really say. I'm just so struck right now. Let's go in with our last thoughts and our rating.
Okay.
Because we actually have a lot more to talk about this movie in another segment. So.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, I'm only going to give it a 3 out of 10, actually.
What?
Like I said, man, I couldn't get into it. None of it really kept me intrigued enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't left wondering about anything. None of it particularly intrigued me. It was all pretty straightforward, but not exciting enough for me to really engage me in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, bottom line, I wouldn't complain. If I came around here and you were watching it, I'd sit down and hang out with you and watch the rest of it, but I wouldn't put it on again myself.
What did you rather, Texas Chainsaw or this?
I did rather this over the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but still.
Okay.
Personally, probably wouldn't rewatch this.
Okay. All right. You know when you're a kid and you see like a cool band or something on TV and you're like, fuck, I want to be exactly like them?
Yeah.
This was that movie to me.
Fair call.
Yeah. When I was a kid and I looked at like how the way the vampires dressed and acted, I wanted to be David.
Yeah.
He was just like the personification or the vampire. of fucking awesome, of cool, of rad, and I just loved everything that happened in this movie. I'm going to talk about how I watched it with a critical eye this time, and there are some things that you are right in a sense that some of the story it doesn't flow.
And just loosely thrown together.
Yeah, and there are some plot holes in it. Like, for one, I'll give you one. When Michael and David are flying and doing the whole back and forth with the antlers, and then Michael finally turns them around and gets David on the antlers. Then Michael's looking at David on the antlers, but they're on the ground.
I noticed that. Yeah. I wasn't really sure how that worked.
Yeah. Another thing is when they're hanging by the bridge, when the train's coming over, it never really explains what happened to Michael. Like,
assumed he was probably supposed to basically be in a euphoric state from the blood and all that. Like, he was basically tripping balls.
Yeah, that's what I got. So he just sort of woke up
from, like, a hangover, like, from being wasted, basically.
Yeah. That's what I got.
That's the only thing I got. And even then, in that scene, it confused me a little bit. Because it's doing the thing of, like, the faded him and another shot of him, and he's, like, screaming and falling and stuff. But then there's like a 3 second gap in the middle where he just sort of goes blank and stares around and then starts screaming again. I'm like, yeah. Did he forget he was falling?
I think he was. That was the point where he realized, wait, I'm not dead, in a way.
But then why does he start screaming again?
Because he's still falling, maybe. He realizes, no, I'm still falling.
That's what I mean. Like, did he just forget that he was falling? Is he just kind of like, I must admit, yeah. I did have a few laughs in this movie. I will give it that. Some of it I did find funny. The sax player, for one. Oh, that was just funny, man. I couldn't help but laugh at that.
Seriously. It's a good song.
I didn't really hear much of it. You don't hear that much of it.
We'll hear more of that song later in the show. I was more
distracted by just, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, okay. It's Tim Capella. Actually, that... Tim Capello's is Tina Turner's saxophone player.
Oh,
so
okay,
it's actually
cool.
Him playing.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe not. He was probably lip syncing. You know how he's making a music video. But yeah,
of course.
That is actually him with that song.
Okay, fair
enough. It's his song. It's added in there because it's just cool. I think it's cool. Imagine going to a boardwalk with a carnival and all that stuff, seeing barrels of fire, some dude oiled up playing saxophone. That's fucking rock and roll.
Okay.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I'm not saying I have a problem with it. I only brought it up to start with because you asked about gay undertones. You can't honestly say there's not one right there.
No, I know. That's why I brought it up. I wanted to address the elephant in the room. Or the sexy sax man in the room.
The sexy sax man in the room. He's just been grinding on us the whole show.
I'd love that.
It's kind of strange.
No, but this is a movie, like, it is. This one and American Werewolf in London are two movies that swap back and forth as to second position of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
This movie's opposite of you. It speaks to me. I just love everything about this movie. It just brings me back to that time in my life when I was impressionable and all that stuff. Like, fucking hell, look at I'm wearing a Lost Boy shirt right now, so to speak. If someone came up and said Lost Boys out of 10, what would you give it? I would say 10 out of 10. This last view, I gotta come in critical, and I have been pretty generous with my scores as of late. I shouldn't have given Predator a 10 out of 10. That's probably more of a 9 out of 10. This one, it is probably more of a 9 out of 10.
Fair enough.
Truthfully. Between an 8 and nine. But to me, it's my bread and butter. I fucking love this movie. I can put it on any time. I can put this on more than I can put Predator on.
Yeah.
Everything's cool in this movie. I don't know, from the soundtrack to the dialogue to the acting, I just love every single thing about this movie.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And hey, that's just me. You dig what you dig, I guess.
That's it, man.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for the Lost Boys. Let's kick it in with What's Under the Bed reviews.
Fucking sneakered you, didn't it?
Motherfucker.
What? It's not my fault. I couldn't get into it, man. Like I said, it just didn't work for me, eh?
That's right.
I found heaps of fucking just heaps of 80s cliches in there.
Yeah, it's very 80s.
Which, like, I get because it was made in the 80s.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it went overboard with a lot of the cliches and a lot of things were overdone in it.
Yours compared
to
mine?
Even the way his brother, though, like, fucking just jumps to the conclusion, man. He doesn't need any convincing that his brother's a vampire. He just sees a mirror and goes, "You're a vampire! You're a blood-sucking creature of the night! Get away from me!" and runs away. I'm like, you did... What?
Because
you just believe that instantly.
He's an impressionable 16-year-old kid who's being given...
I knew that's what you'd say, but it still didn't really work for me.
You didn't laugh when he...
I laughed. That's what I mean. I laughed at stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I laughed when he did that. I was like, fuck, all right. But it just, like, in... That's what I'm saying. As a critical view of the movie, that doesn't work for me. Okay. Like, he just believes instantly that his brother's a vampire. Just straight away. He's just like, "You're a vampire! Ah!" Okay. Don't worry about trying to help your brother or anything like that. Or like,
he's freaked out.
Yeah, but see, I don't know. For me, it just didn't work.
You didn't like... Did you laugh at the scene where he goes, "Oh, you wait till Mum hears about this"?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the worst thing that's going to happen. Your mum's going to know that you're a vampire.
Exactly. Plus, I didn't like the way that they turned.
What do you mean?
Like, he just had to drink from the bottle and that was it. He was a vampire.
No, he had to kill. Before that made him a half vampire, the blood. And then he had to kill someone before he turned full.
Yeah, but I still don't really like just the drinking from the bottle.
Really?
I prefer it normally when it's more brutal. Like, the vampire normally actually, like, bites you and then has to feed you, like, directly from them or something. So it's a bit more in your face. Like, there's no subtlety to it. It's fucking, that's what's happening.
See, I like this because it's sneaky. That's why they put it in the wine bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, they turn. Yeah. I know we're back on the Lost Boys, but I just want to... I forgot to do trivia, so...
Oh, very good.
The bandstand that the band is playing on, the Sexy Sax Man...
Yeah.
...and the comic book were destroyed in the 1989 earthquake.
Oh, shit.
So that's all gone, sadly.
Never.
In the scene where Sam and the Frog Brothers stake Marco where he sleeps... that it they are pursued by the rest of the, you know, like David grabs Sam's leg.
Yeah.
And the scene where the tear, when the fire comes up on David's hand and he's like the tear comes down his eye.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the script. Apparently the tear running down his face was actually caused by Keith Sutherland's contact lenses, which were stinging terribly, but they decided to keep it in as it looked really good and was in context.
I thought it was a little bit weird, though, for a vampire to cry.
Yeah, well, you have fire on you. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, like, you could definitely justify the reasons for it, but I was just kind of like, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I love it how that wasn't in the script and, like, the tear comes down his eye, yet Keith Sutherland didn't jump out of character and go, oh, let's do it again.
Yeah, he just went with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for sure.
Awesome. Okay. Jim Carrey was considered for the role of David.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah, I cannot see it either.
Really?
Yeah. Don't see it. All right.
Not even a little.
As the answer to your question, how many times did they say Michael?
Yes.
Michael. 118 times.
Come on, Michael. Hello, Michael. Check it out, Mikey.
118 times.
118 times. Holy shit.
So there you go.
Fuck yes.
All right, now we're going to What's Under the Bed reviews.
What's Under the Bed reviews?
Oh, fuck. All right, what's under the bed this week? Well, it's been a slow week for me, basically. So I didn't actually get to see much of anything released lately. So do you know what I thought I'd do? Instead of doing something that's been out recently, I thought I'd go back and watch Lost Boys 2 and 3. Because it's the fucking Lost Boys party up in this bitch. Championship gold, we're coming for ya. The Lost Boys 2, which is called The Tribe, comes at a 4.6 out of 10. The story is Chris and Nicole Emerson.
Yeah.
Notice the last name.
Emerson.
That's the name of Sam and Michael. Last name is Sam and Michael.
Yeah, okay.
Somehow related. Moved to Luna Bay, expecting to initiate a new life. But Nicole gets caught up with a group of young vampires, and Chris aids the help of Edgar Frog to save her sister's mortal soul. This stars Tad Hilgenbrink. Did you ever see any of the shittier American Pies?
No, I didn't. I refused to watch them because I like those movies. I didn't want them to ruin it for me.
Yeah, give them a take. Tad Hilgenbrink plays Chris in this movie. He plays Chris... is it Stifler's brother or cousin in the lesser-known American Pie movies? He actually does a fucking awesome job of being Stifler's relative. Because he resembles him in a way. Sean William Scott, so it's funny. Angus Sutherland, who is the lead vampire, who starts as Shane, which is Keith Sutherland's half-brother.
Yeah, okay.
So it's cool tie-in.
Yeah, cool.
Autumn Reeser, who plays Nicole. Corey Feldman. Comes back as Edgar Frog.
Yeah, cool.
Now, just remember, this movie came out in 2008. So,
holy shit.
Yeah, Edgar Frog's a lot older.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a grown up.
Yeah. Corey Haim comes in a cameo as Sam.
Oh, really?
Yep, right at the end. Sam's actually a vampire.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we'll get to it. All right, what did I like, what didn't I like? Well, the thing about this movie is they're surfers instead of bikers.
Okay.
The characters are very unlikable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The brother and sister duo of Chris and Nicole. I just couldn't. Okay, Chris is very, very, very protective of his sister. To the point of he's in the shower with a hot-ass chick getting laid and he hears screaming. So he stops to go help his sister.
Man, you can at least finish first.
Oh, I know, right? Fuck your sister. Honestly. Not literally, but...
That's a weird way of finishing.
Hey, incest is all right in some areas.
Yeah, fun for the whole family.
Exactly. Edgar Frog. Now, the thing about... I didn't actually talk to you about this in the last review of The Lost Boys. Corey Feldman, who plays Edgar Frog, did you enjoy the Rambo-style acting?
I did. That was funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In this one, he hams it up tenfold.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's cringeworthy. Oh, yeah, no. It's not. Like, okay, in the first, in Lost Boys, like the original, you can deal with it. He's a young kid trying to be tough.
Yeah, okay.
In this one, he's a 30-year-old man trying to be tough. It kind of comes off creepy and weird.
Yeah, that's just sad.
It doesn't really. What did I like about this movie though? The gore. The gore was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
really decent. The first scene has a cameo by Tom Savini, who's a makeup artist who's done Friday the 13th, stuff like that.
Yeah, see.
And something happens to him. I'm trying not to spoil it. Something happens to him and actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
The way the vampires die in this is also a like for me because they all die differently, which is a good thing. He does in the original movie how he goes, no two vampires die the same. Does that little speech.
Yep.
He does this in this again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But in this one, no two vampires actually die the same. Like, and they die differently than the first one. Like, one of them turns to stone.
See, that's apart. Cool. I like that.
Yeah. So that was a thing. Another like, it's not really a like, it's more of a, okay, I can deal with it. The story is, I'm struggling to say this, is watchable. Now let's get to the dislikes. The dislikes I had. This tried way too hard to be funny. Okay, it really...
That doesn't work, yeah.
Yeah, no. This is why I hated The Mummy.
Yeah.
And a lot of movies that I hate, because they just try way too hard to be funny. Don't try to be funny.
No.
It just doesn't work.
No. If you got to try, it ain't funny.
Exactly. And the nods to the original in this movie.
Yeah.
It was just too many.
I was going to say, like, one, two max is okay.
Yeah.
But when you start doing it constantly...
Oh, yeah. Every second.
You may as well just rewatch the first movie.
Every second, yeah. If there was a funny part, like, right at the start, where I had the sexy sax man playing in the street, yet he's a lot older and a lot fatter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's still wearing the same shit. Like, no shirt and like that, but he's got a full-on... He's got rolls in his gut. He's greasy as shit, yeah. So that was one of the cool nods that I liked about it. Another thing I didn't like in this movie is the look of the vampires. They made them way too monstrous.
Oh, really?
So they
went overboard with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. This really didn't work. Truth be told, I won't watch this again. Probably, I dare say, ever. Yeah. I don't feel like I need to. I really don't. I will give this... I wrote down 4 out of 10, but now thinking about it, I'm coming in with a 3 out of 10.
Fair call.
And that's someone coming... That's, like, you heard my review on the original. Now let's kick it over to part 3.
Okay.
So, Lost Boys part 3, subtitled The Thirst.
Oh, The Thirst. I thought you said The First. I was like, what? Oh, no. Number 3, The First. What?
So, in California, Edgar Frog is facing hard time, struggling for money and stuck in depression after having to kill his friend Sam. He's contacted by an author who needs his assistance, but he needs help for the task, perhaps a blood relative.
Ooh. Blood in a vampire movie.
Very good.
Whoa.
This stars, once again, Corey Feldman as Edgar, Tanit Phoenix as Gwen, Casey B. Dolan as Zoe, and returning, Jameson Newlander as Alan Frog. Now, Alan Frog wasn't in part 2.
Yeah.
And it hints at him possibly having been turned into a vampire.
Oh, okay.
There are deleted scenes of him coming for Edgar in a cool, it's got like a nice hot rod which has been blacked out. He's only got like a little screen where he can see where he's going, and he's basically full fanged out, and he's got long hair with a cowboy hat. It looks pretty cool, but that was deleted. I forgot to mention that the last part of part 2, you see Corey talking to someone in the darkness, and out comes Sam, a lot older, of course, but he's full in vampire mode. And Sam ends up them talking about, like, how they used to be friends and stuff like that. And it ends with them both running at each other, going to fight each other. And that's where it cuts off and the credits roll.
Okay, right.
So you never really get as to how Sam became a vampire.
Yeah, right. Though. Okay.
Now, with this thing here, this The Thirst, part 3, there's a few nods where Edgar is thinking about the original movie. Like, he's thinking about his friendship with Alan and Sam. And he goes back to clips of the first movie, which I thought was really cool. Like him, it shows a clip of Edgar looking over Sam's grave.
Yep.
And he's holding Batman number 14.
Yeah, okay.
The
one they referenced in the first one.
Yeah, the one that he wanted. And he's got it there and he leaves it there and he's remembering all the fun times that he had with him. Then he goes to see his brother, Alan, who is now a vampire.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, the things I like about this movie. As I said before, Edgar Frog is contacted by an author who needs his assistance.
Yeah.
The thing I like about this movie, the author is meant to be a parody of the Twilight author.
Oh, okay.
So right. Edgar Frog doesn't like her because she made vampires sexy and likable. So it makes fun of the Twilight books.
Yeah, nice.
In a way. Another like is there's a minigun in this movie, and they call it a minigun.
That's sick.
And they call it Old Painless, just like Predator. So I don't know if that was an actual nod to Predator.
Love it.
But yeah, that's another like. Now, the dislikes I had, Edgar is more tougher.
Yeah?
Yeah. This, for some reason, I don't know if I just got used to it, but I was all right with it. I was a bit all right with it. The only other thing that happens that I didn't like is Edgar grunts a lot.
Oh, really?
Oh, my. It's like his catchphrase. Like, someone says anything, and he's like, And it's like, oh, it's cringeworthy. The story to this movie, simple, self-explanatory, and in the... It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. But in the end, it's kind of like, really? It's okay. The vampires in this one are ravers.
Ravers.
Yes.
The start of Blade 2.
Exactly. That's sick. Exactly what it's like. The head DJ, sorry, the head vampire, so you think, is the DJ.
Yeah.
Called DJ X.
Okay.
Of course. What else would you be fucking called?
That's right.
But basically what they're doing is why it's called the Thirst is they're handing out drugs, a drug, a little tiny little bottle with a bit of liquid in it to ravers called the Thirst, which is basically vampire blood mixed with ecstasy. The plot of the story is DJ X wants to make the whole world vampires. So that's what they're basically doing. Edgar Frog has to help. The author's brother's got kidnapped by the vampires. She wants him back, blah, 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 blah. All right. It's better than part two.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. It's not very good, though. In the end, I'm going to have to spoil this. So for warning, this will be spoiled. In the end... the vampires do die.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a hint of other creatures coming out. Hint a werewolf.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yes. So it gives you that. So it was meant, I think it was meant to go into a whole new different trilogy.
Yeah, okay.
Of maybe Lost Werewolves or something like that. So would I like that? I don't know. Maybe with different. Done. Yeah, exactly. Maybe with different writers.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. This one, I'm coming in a bit higher. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
It's not horrible, but it's meh. Yeah. Truthfully told. So that's Lost Boys 1 and... sorry, 2 and 3. If you haven't seen them... the only thing I'd say, if you want to see them, if you're a big fan of the Lost Boys like me, I'd say give them a go, just for a one-off. If you're coming in... if you're mainly leaning towards Ben, don't bother.
Yeah, not worth it.
No, no. I almost forgot to mention how the comics wrap up the films in general. So I got like the plot synopsis from Wikipedia, which is, of course, true, right? So the plot is, the story starts out in Luna Bay, California in 2007, 1 year before the events of Lost Boys, The Tribe. A young child enters into Edgar Frog's surfboard shop looking to become his new apprentice. He is subjected to a few tests in order to determine if he is a vampire. After his humanity is established, Edgar turns him down and the boy mentions training with his brother Alan Frog instead.
Ooh.
Edgar tells the boy to be quiet and then starts to tell him a story. The story then leads into a flashback of the Frog Brothers' hunting days in Washington, D.C. in the 1990s. They hunt a series of politicians in a job for the president. The boy expresses skepticism that the president would hire them for such a task, and Edgar tells him how many politicians over the years were vampire slayers. The story then leads into another flashback in the year 1990, where the Frog Brothers are returning to their comic book store in Santa Carla. Where they arrive, they think their parents are dead, and David Powers from the original film appears along with a crew of new vampires. David and the Frog Brothers begin to battle, and the Frog Brothers are quickly incapacitated. Soon, Sam Emerson appears and helps Edgar and Alan fight the vampires. David then asks Sam for the location of Michael and Star. Sam's dog Nanook attacks a vampire that is about to hurt Sam, while Sam impales another with an arrow, killing him. Edgar then attacks two of the remaining vampires, and David escapes, vowing revenge. The three heroes are then shown in Sam's house. They first enter Grandpa's taxidermy looking for the antlers, which were used to impale David. After they are found to be missing, they then go into the fridge, noticing the food is outdated, and find the scent of blood in Grandpa's root beer bottles. They start to debate on whether Grandpa is a vampire or a vampire hunter, due to the things found and the fact that he knew to put a wooden stake in front of his vehicle to kill Max. Grandpa soon returns, and Sam asks him about these accusations. He then shifts his appearance, revealing that he is in fact a vampire. When Grandpa reveals he is a vampire, the Frog Brothers try to kill him, but Sam stops him. Grandpa informs the frogs that he is only a half vampire, and he feeds on animals in order to stay that way. When they ask him why killing Max did not restore his humanity, he then tells them it's because Max didn't turn him, but the widow Johnson did. Grandpa leads the boys to their house, and they go into the basement, only to be attacked by a swarm of female vampires. One of them overpowers Alan, so he yells for Edgar to help. Edgar says to Alan that everything will be fine, but then Alan says the vampire forced him to drink her blood, and that he enjoyed it. Edgar tries to comfort Alan by saying he will be fine as long as they kill the widow, but soon a giant vampire beast appears and kills Grandpa. It then attempts to kill Sam, but its attack is blocked by Edgar. He then fires stakes at it into it and stabs it multiple times. After fighting the beast, Edgar couldn't find Alan. He asks Sam if he knew where he was, but Sam seemed too upset and traumatized to answer. It cuts back to present day, and Edgar tells the boy that was the last time he ever saw Alan. He realizes it's gotten late, so he gives the boy a ride home. Then they are attacked by an angry female vampire named Chloe, who seems to know Edgar. She would have liked to kill him, but she says that David wanted him alive. She asks him the whereabouts of Michael and Star, but Edgar says they died in a car accident. Chloe continues to prod, but soon the boy saves Edgar by killing Chloe. The boy then asks Edgar why he didn't kill her, because he's supposed to be the king of the vampire slaying. Edgar then reveals that his entire story was greatly exaggerated. They never actually went after vampire politicians, and the Van Helsing medal he claimed the president awarded him with was purchased at a Hot Topic during a Halloween sale, and the clerk was wearing a George Bush mask. I don't know why that's important. He also told the boy that the dominatrix vampire they killed was sleeping, because it was during the day. Edgar is impressed by the boy's slaying skills, so he asks him to accompany on his search for David. Then it cuts back to Santa Carla in 1987. It depicts a scene from The Lost Boys, in which David and his gang feed on the people in the bonfire party. It is revealed that one of these people was Shane Powers, who was the head vampire in the second part two, The Tribe. He was the only survivor, but was now a vampire. He starts to feel the thirst and goes into the ocean and feeds on a great white shark. Okay. When he gets back to the shore, he's upset about his friends being killed. He then says to himself that he will become like David and start his own family of vampires, thus creating the tribe. Why didn't he just kill David? Like, if he was upset that David killed his friends, why do you want to be like David? Why wouldn't you want to kill David? Anyway, that's what happens in the comics, basically. That leads into the tribe, the movie, the second part. Except it never really finishes up with what happened to David. So David's just left there to live, because David's the best, because Kiefer Sutherland's a sexy motherfucker. Anyway, on to the next segment, which is The Voice of the People. You're the voice, try and understand it. Make the noise and make it clear. Oh, 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 oh. All right, Benjamin, the voice of the people. Now, next week for us is our Australia Day, which is basically...
Yeah, it is. Fucking Australia. Yeah. Get it up, yeah.
Which is basically, if you don't know, America's Independence Day and Canada's Canada Day, etc., etc. But for us Australians, it's basically a day for us to be drinking and be drunk and just cause ruckus.
Yeah, that's right.
So, in preparation for Australia Day next week, we thought we'd kick it off with some Australian horror movies.
Yeah.
Have you seen any Australian horror movies?
Not that I can think of. Not that I'm aware of off the top of my head, anyway.
Okay. Well, the two... I try to go in with the two biggest ones that I can think of. And, of course, you can't not think of Wolf Creek.
I knew that would be in there if you were talking Australian horror.
You have to. The other one I was kicking in with, kicking around with a few others, but the other one I came up with was The Babadook. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of that. I haven't seen it, but I have heard of it. I kind of just want to watch it because it has a funny name. Babadook, Babadook.
It's got a whole rhyme to it, but we'll get to that. We might eventually do it one day. We'll never know. Depends on what you guys want to do. So, The Babadook is very controversial. Like, some people love it, some people just didn't get to it.
Yeah, okay.
I loved it.
Yeah?
I thought it's very... There's a lot of undertones and stuff like that. We'll get into that when we do it one day, maybe. Okay. The winner with 68%, Wolf Creek.
Yeah.
I kind of saw this coming, truth be told.
Yeah. So, I didn't think much else would stand up to it.
Is there one that was more flirting with you? Like, did you want...
Wolf Creek.
Yeah?
The amount of hype around it, I feel like it's one that I have to watch.
I don't want you to get hyped over movies anymore. You tend to not like them. Actually, I'm excited to watch this again because I haven't seen it for easily 10 years. I just finished watching the TV series, though. So that might be what's under the bed reviews for next week.
Yeah, nice.
Might do a TV series. We're going to be watching Wolf Creek. We're going to be breaking it down Australian style. We're going to tell you what's stupid and what's right. Let us inform you about the real Outback. Because we see it every fucking day.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Kangaroos and shit. Did you see the kangaroo jumping over the harbour bridge the other day?
Yes, how fucking good is that? And the cops had to arrest it. They arrested a kangaroo.
Oh my god.
People, if you don't believe us, Google the Australian news. We are shitting you not.
Yes.
This actually happened the other day.
A kangaroo got arrested in Australia.
For hopping over the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
That's a stupid... Why did it get arrested?
Where the fuck did it come from?
I have no idea.
Every which way you look there. Yeah, how did it get there?
They can get... They're fucking everywhere, man. You see roadkill
down in the sewers, big sewer rats.
Yeah. that's what it is like for Pennywise is down there. It's just a kangaroo, just a boxing kangaroo. Come here, I'm gonna get you.
Get back here, you big tailed bastard. I'm not done with you.
Oh, I can just think of Russell Crowe. Come here, cancer. Oh, fucking
they'd be known to kick with their legs. Take that, cancer. Oh, they spotted me.
All right, we're gonna wrap this shit up. Let's go to what's pumping on your iPod. Make me throw my hands in the air, 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 air. Fucking Russell Crowe.
Love it, eh? Farting around the world.
We should play that song next
week. Yes, we should.
All right. What's pumping on your iPod? Okay, you know it's... As I said before, it's a Lost Boys party. You're still laughing about Russell Crowe.
It's just Russell Crowe. Now I've just got all sorts of shit running through my head. We're talking about Australia Day. Now I'm thinking about The Simpsons.
What? How?
Hey, Mr. Prime Minister! Hey, lads, it's going off!
That part where he's like, let me just ask my neighbour.
Fucking Tobias. $900 dudes.
Wasn't that a case they were trying to change dollars to dollary dues?
I wish they did. That would have been the best fucking shit ever.
Hell. All right.
I'd save so much more money because I'd want to have all the dollary dues.
I'd be surprised at the price of everything. If I bought a case of beer, $52
I'm fucking dying here. All right, we'll talk about the Australian shit next week. We're still at Lost Boys Party. So, of course, it's Lost Boys Party, of course we're coming in with the soundtrack of the Lost Boys.
Yep, fair call.
Now, you can't not have a Lost Boys Party and not play Cry Little Sister.
Yep.
I feel you have to play it. Ben, it's been in your head all day.
It has been.
And it's going to be in your head a bit longer.
Fair call.
Because we're playing that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I can get on board with that. I definitely do dig that song. I always like it in your car, even before I watch the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song has been remade so... Well, is that the word you use for...
Yeah, I guess.
Covered.
That's the word.
Covered so many times. But we're going to play the original. The OG, I find it the best. Yeah, there's some good covers out there, but I find the original the best. So there's that. All right, on to song number two.
Yep.
Ben, I'm giving you the option, and I'm giving you three options right now.
Okay.
Now, there's songs...
Hit me with my choices.
Okay. I Still Believe by Sexy Sax Man, Tim Capello.
Yep.
Now, I can't actually remember what these songs' the titles are. Maybe I should actually just give me a second. Just let me remember what the songs are. Oh, one of them is People Are Strange, the starting song. Done by Echo and the Bunnymen. You know, the People Are Strange.
Yeah, yep.
And the other one is Lost in the Shadows, when they're on the bikes.
Yep. Sail on to the night, lost in the shadows.
I did like that song.
Yeah, you did.
But I am going to have to go with the Sexy Sax Man. I want to hear what else that bad boy can do.
It's actually a really cool song. I really dig it. I actually like the song.
Yeah.
It's a funky, cool song.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I love a good bit of sax.
Yeah.
It's always cool.
Especially when you're greasy.
I just want to see what else he can do besides having like rippling abs and a chain around his neck.
Now, I actually was going to play Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
He's in a band called Corey's Angels. Actually, no, I think it's Corey and Corey's Angels or something like that.
Okay.
You've probably seen people talk about it because he was on like the Today Show or something like that, or some show in America where he actually played live, and it was kind of cringeworthy.
Was that not that long ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I do. He's got long black hair now,
and it's very cringeworthy because he's doing this weird song and dance, and it's like, Corey, I really liked you when you were in the 80s.
Yeah.
Now you're just kind of, it's a bit weird now.
Yeah.
He's all about, you know how all the people in Hollywood are going through the allegations of sexual assault and stuff like that? He's trying to pin out people who were pedophiles.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing all that weird stuff. It's like, shut up, Corey. Just go back to making movies.
Get back in your hole.
Exactly. So I was going to play something from Corey's Angels, but I listened to it on the way home, and it's not very good.
Okay, let's not do that.
It's kind of cringeworthy, and I don't want to make you guys cringe.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll make you guys listen to Tim Capello instead.
Yeah, we will.
You'll find that better.
Yeah, we will. Get that hip gyrating sax man going.
Fucking oath.
Fuck yeah.
I like him. I like him a lot. Anyway, Benjamin, that basically is all we have for this week.
All right, Timothy.
If that's all right with you. Do you have anything else to add?
I don't, actually.
That's our show in a nutshell, then.
That's it. In a bloody big nutshell.
Okay.
We're gonna have to. I don't know where we keep buying those big nuts. What happens when we run out of shells?
I don't know.
Do we run out of shows?
Yep.
Are they directly linked?
Yeah, that's right.
Or can we just do them outside the shell? Think outside the shell.
Oh! All right.
What's up? Well,
till next time. Kick us off with that. We might be drinking next. No, probably not. I don't know. Either way, we're gonna be talking about Australian stuff. So kick.
We should do it on Australia Day.
I'm busy.
Oh, you're gay.
I know. Australia Day's Friday, so it'd be too late.
We're not friends anymore.
How dare you?
Poo head. You're busy and I don't have plans. That means they're not plans with me.
Oh, I only go out with my friends who like Lost Boys. Oh.
Don't know who the fuck you're hanging out with then.
How dare you? Everyone in the world. Because everyone likes Lost Boys except for you. Anyway, let's join. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
house will rock. Blind boys don't lie. Immortal fear, that voice so clear.
Through the storms, through the cries, costume.